And a very good day to you fine folks out there in Radio Land. Adam Lepp here on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio. Time for mid-morning coffee break, mid-morning iced tea or diet soda break, or the Adam the Computer Guy Radio Extravaganza, where we discuss almost anything and everything just to keep it fun. And I'm joined for the first time this year by Dr. Ronald L. Feynman, my microphone mate, brother in broadcasting, and sometimes partner in crime. So, Ron, it's 2023, new year. How has this young year been treating you so far?
Well, we're all a year older, you realize, as of January 1st.
Yeah, some of us especially, yes.
It's going well. The only thing is the Congress is not going well. It's a disaster what happened in the House of Representatives.
Yeah. Discuss that, of course. Interesting turn of events. You know, we're both baseball fans, Ron. We've talked about some of the baseball players that seems like it takes them 10, 12, 15 years before they get voted in, or they get voted in by the Veterans Committee. I think Jim Cott waited a long time and finally got in. I think he's deserving. There was a question in one of my baseball Facebook groups, does Kenny Rogers, and that's the baseball player, not the musician, deserve to be in the Hall of Fame? I don't think he should. I mean, he pitched a perfect game. He was a good player, but I did make the wisecrack comment that the musician Kenny Rogers, I don't think he's in the Hall of Fame, but the Hall of Fame's a joke anyway. I think he should be, as he was a rock and roller who did many things, acted, etc., had a great career and recently left the earth. But Kenny Rogers, a baseball player, no, doesn't deserve it. Tony Perez, you know, favorite of mine, obviously, as a clutch hitter and great first baseman for the Reds, finally got in. You know, we're seeing Joey Votto when he retires. How long will it take him to get in? Is he a first ballot? You know, Nolan Ryan, Hank Aaron, some of these players, if you don't vote for them for the Hall of Fame, you probably shouldn't be in the sports writing business. But there are many borderline players, and the bottom line, what I'm getting at,
too many borderline players. Yeah,
what I'm getting at in this,
but they have ethics problems.
Yeah, long-winded essay, which may seem to have nothing to do with politics, but actually it does. But I think you know what I'm talking about. After 174 votes, or maybe it was just 15, like I heard, Kevin McCarthy finally is the Speaker of the House. How many votes were there, Ron? I think it was 15, which I think is actually the maximum number of times you can be on the Hall of Fame ballot before they take you off. And that's kind of what I was getting at.
Although, it's 15, I believe, yeah. Is it 10? I'm not actually at the moment sure, but I think it's 15 years, yeah.
Now, what happened? I mean, it was thought that he would be the next speaker. I mean, you've written that maybe someone like John Kasich, someone who's not in Congress, could be the speaker. We joked that Scott Spears could be the speaker. I think he'd do a good job, but, I mean, probably wouldn't happen. Kasich would be a possibility. He has been a Fox Sports commentator. I mean, he lives shouting distance from my house, assuming he still lives there. Not the greatest speaker in the world, but certainly very knowledgeable and good with the economy, fairly moderate, and, of course, an Ohioan.
Yeah, well, you don't have to be a great speaker to be Speaker of the House. It's something to do with your speaking ability.
Yeah, and there were, you know, people making these memes on Facebook showing photos of speakers for a stereo, and then showing photos of McCarthy and some others, and, you know, pick the speaker. So, a lot of jokes. Think about Kevin McCarthy. He's about 30 years younger than Fancy Nancy.
He's actually 57, so he's about 25 years younger.
Okay.
Yeah.
I knew he was a little younger than I am.
Like mid-50s,
hard to believe 57, he's younger than I am. I would say that I age better, but we'll talk about that on a different show. Granted, being in Congress is a stressful job. You are a fan of Nancy, you know, Pelosi. I call her Fancy Nancy. She's retired. You're not a fan of Kevin McCarthy.
Well, she retired, but she's still in the House. She's just not the Speaker now. Yeah.
Retired as Speaker. Do you think she's going to run again for her congressional seat in California?
No, I don't know. She'll be 84. It depends on her health. I think she will if she's in good health, of course. But there's also discussion her daughter might become her successor or the one they want to nominate. But I think some people wouldn't like that. They don't like the idea of a family connection. But she's she's the one that's written about her and filmed about her and all that. She's like her mid-50s, you know, about the same age. So there's some talk that she might replace her, but not at this point.
I will say to her credit, she does seem young for her age. We've talked about Biden. I mean, does he have early stage dementia type condition? You know, I say he does, and some people not quite sure. Some say he doesn't. Some say it's severe. Hard to tell. But with respect to Nancy Pelosi, she's very spry for early 80s. And
yes, it's very much so. I think women, in a broad sense, tend to age better than men. I think, not maybe in appearance, but I think mentally they hold on longer, I think. It's a general statement. Maybe I'm wrong, but I think that's true.
Yeah, so I don't, you know, I'm applaud her for still being very vibrant, you know, at her age. But, of course, there are other things about her that I don't see. I can't say that I care for, but I do applaud her as the first female Speaker of the House. That certainly is a milestone. Ron writes the blog, theprogressiveprofessor.com, which we encourage you to read. Actually, just this past Sunday, the 8th, was one of the longest blog entries in memory. Usually it takes 1 minute to read. That last one took about 3 or 4 minutes. And we'll, of course, discuss that during the program. But on your blog of the 7th, you do write about the Kevin McCarthy speakership. I guess that's a word, the speakership.
It is, yeah.
Yes, not as good of a word as presidentologist, but a word nonetheless. Will be a disaster for the nation. So as I was kind of saying earlier, Ron.
I said sadly, though. I added the word in there. Sadly.
You do like Nancy Pelosi, calling her one of the best speakers in modern times, but McCarthy, not quite so thrilled. Now, do you think he will, again, as Kasich did during his tenure as governor in Ohio, and DeWine is doing to an extent, do you think he will moderate to the center? Do you think he may surprise, be a good speaker in terms of articulation and working with both parties? Because that's kind of the main job, especially in the divided House we have now.
Yeah, I think he's going to have trouble because being governor is different. Being speaker and having sold his soul to become speaker by agreeing to all kinds of restrictions by the more right-wing members of his delegation, I think he's going to probably not survive 2 years. He'll be voted out by the majority. I'm hoping one day, you know, at least six or more moderate, and there are some Republicans like Benjamin Fitzpatrick, I think it's Benjamin Fitzpatrick of Pennsylvania, who's the only Republican who showed up at the two-year commemoration of what happened on January 6th outside the U.S. Capitol during the voting. Nobody else did. I could not believe that nobody else did, not even Lisa Murkowski. But if we could get six or seven Brian Fitzpatricks to say, I've had enough of this, and they joined the Democrats, they could make Hakeem Jeffries speaker in the middle of the two-year term. That's all it would take. Six Republicans abandoning and going.
I have not heard McCarthy speak a lot, so as you probably have, Ron, does he articulate well? Does he come across authoritative? That certainly is important.
I would say mildly so, but I think Hakeem Jeffries' speech, as I mentioned in this entry, he was really amazing because I haven't heard him much either, but he gave a great speech before he introduced the new speaker, and I think he's going to be the new speaker in 2025. I think the House will go back. There's only a small lead to he'll go back to the Democrats next time.
So you don't think that McCarthy's term will be a very long one? And
I don't think he's going to finish 2 years, honestly. He's going to be pushed out like Boehner was pushed out in 15 for Ryan in the middle of the term. And Ryan finished up, but they both wanted to get the hell out of Dodge because the Republican caucus is extremely right-wing, and they're not. And I don't think McCarthy is as right-wing as these people like Boebert and Gates and others. And you know, but I think you know he's going to be controlled by them, and there's going to be votes. They could have one person can call a vote to try to kick him out. I think it's going to come about. And I just wish, as I said, a group of moderates would say they're tired of this, switch parties, and put the Democrats in control, which they could do in the middle of the 2 year term.
So, we might see a cluster. And the second part of that word is not one that you can say on the radio, but I think you know what I'm getting at. And that's going to cause, we have a divided political situation anyway, Ron, but that's going to cause a lack of really anything getting done, which is kind of a shame. I mean, we have a serious...
Yes, of course it's a shame. And you know what's ironic? I think the way things are going, the House will go back to the Democrats, but because 23 of the 33 seats that are up for the 2024 in the Senate are Democratic seats, and the 10 Republicans are all pretty solid, I think, except maybe one or two, it's very likely the Republicans will win back the Senate next time, so it'll be the opposite mix. Oh, my God. I hope not, but it could be that.
Yeah, we have parity here, you know, things going back and forth, and It would be nice if we could all just get along and shake hands despite differences, but that doesn't seem to be.
A lot of these Republicans, the more extreme ones, don't want to get along. That's the whole thing. I'm not saying McCarthy wouldn't want to, but he's become trapped by his own caucus, by the more extreme elements of it.
And I think McCarthy, Ron, is not someone people really heard much about before he was considered to be the frontrunner for Speaker.
He wanted to be Speaker in 15 when Boehner left, and he was pushed away for Ryan instead. They didn't want him then, so he's held on because he wants to be Speaker. Yeah. I don't know why. He humiliated himself by being there for 4 days, as is the fifth longest speakership battle in American history, most since the Civil War. It makes no sense. I don't know why he wants it that much, because he's not going to last in it, I don't think.
Yeah, Ryan, seems like we heard much more from him, and now McCarthy is really in the forefront. But sometimes that happens. I mean, look at Barack Obama. He was unknown, and look what happened, president for 8 years. Even Jimmy Carter, to an extent. He was governor of a state not too far from Ohio, but people really had not heard of him, and he became president, and now he's almost 100 years old as an elder statesman and longest-living former president. So, and again, McCarthy's just in his 50s, not older by any means, especially by today's standards. Do you see him as having aspirations for Pennsylvania Avenue, or is this kind of like the golden prize for him becoming Speaker?
I don't know. It's very hard to say. The one thing that scares me is McCarthy is two heartbeats away from the presidency. I worry about that, because the Speaker is right behind the Vice President. And honestly, with the people around McCarthy, I don't trust him. I almost think the President and Vice President could be in danger, because there'd be people, I'm sure, would love to get rid of them both and make him in the White House. And they'd control everything then if he was, I'm not saying he would be part of it, but I could see people around him possibly wanting to conspire to move him up.
Adam here on The Talking Place.
Control him, yeah.
WWGH Radio, speaking with Dr. Ronald L. Fineman, where L stands for lots of great political opinions and factoids and other stuffy-wuffy, here on this January day in Mid-Ohio, broadcasting all over the universe, on the internet, of course. So we've discussed, Ron, you're not exactly a fan of Kevin McCarthy. Is there anything you like about him? Because you've even mentioned things you like about Donald Trump. I mean, not many. You can count them on one hand, but there are a thing or two about that Donald Trump did that you liked, and we may get into that later.
Well, I've heard that he's friendly on a personal basis, that he's a hardworking guy who campaigns and raised money for all of his caucus, and that's what he's supposed to do. But apparently he did a pretty good job, because at least they did gain the majority, although not much of a majority. I think he's a decent person who's trapped by circumstances, but that's often the case.
Yeah, you've mentioned that your Senator Mr. Rubio, one with the big ears, is lazy.
Ugh.
And
yes.
But you're saying McCarthy, you don't like his politics necessarily. You question his ethics as a man, but he is hardworking. I mean, he earns his money. He does care about his constituents. It's just the opinions may leave little.
And his caucus. But he's also not personally pleasant toward Pelosi, while Boehner always was with Pelosi. I think he's rude compared to what Boehner and Ryan were when they were in their opposition roles. You know, I really think he's become a victim of the people around him, that he's nasty toward the opposition. That's not a good thing.
I'll say, as Speaker of the House, you have to get along with everybody. That's where I probably wouldn't do too good of a job. I think Scott Spears would.
Well, Newt Gingrich didn't. Yeah. Newt Gingrich did not get along with everybody, and he lasted 4 years, but he was a nightmare. He started this modern division that's remained with us since 1994. He's the cause of it, really.
Do you feel that Nancy Pelosi did do a good job getting along with people of different viewpoints, different backgrounds?
I think so, except, of course, with Trump, because of the way Trump treated her without any respect. So she was very defiant toward Trump. But she tried, I think, very hard to get along with others. And but of course, a lot of them, I think a lot of the opposition is not just because she might be called a liberal, because she's not that liberal. The liberal left of the party was not thrilled by her. I think they didn't like the idea of a powerful woman being Speaker. There's a lot of misogyny in the Republican Party, I think. Mm.
So it remains to be seen, Ron, if Kevin McCarthy will moderate as Speaker. I'm thinking he probably will, but who knows?
If he gets too moderate, he'll be kicked out, though, by his caucus. Remember, the caucus will determine how moderate. And if he acts moderate, they're going to say he's giving in to the Democrats. That's the problem.
Well, once again, it's a very slippery slope that we slide on.
I don't envy him, honestly.
Yeah, it's a tricky job. With respect to salary, do you get more salary if you're a speaker? Or you kind of mentioned Envy. I mean, the money's decent.
The speaker
gets
about $200,000. I think. I could look it up. I don't offhand know. I think they do get and they also get Secret Service protection. And I mean fully, like the president and vice president, because after all, they are two heartbeats away, and a couple of times it came pretty close. Like when LBJ became president after Kennedy's assassination, if anything had happened to him and he had heart issues, the Speaker of the House, John W. McCormick, was next in line. You know, the point is that that was scary because he was in his 70s then, McCormick, and people said, oh my God, and then the president pro tempore, he was 86 at the time, Carl Hayden, and then he was even more concerned about age, you know, because people looked old to him 60 years ago. So the speaker is a very high position, and he's well protected because he has to be.
Prior to the confirmation of Kevin McCarthy as speaker, Ron, you wrote multiple blogs definitely condemning the Republican Party, even saying the 21 House Republicans are effectively terrorists. Have you mellowed on that viewpoint now that he's been elected, or you still feel that strongly? You wrote 21 Republicans that are terrorists, and that's, you know,
I think those 21 were, because they were holding the whole caucus in, you know, basically in a crisis where they were holding them hostage. And I think people like Gates, who's had issues about he may have been involved with a girl under 18, they need to be kicked out. Also, all the people who denied the election and continue to vote to deny it, even after the January 6th insurrection, they should not be members of Congress. They should be kicked out under the 14th Amendment, Section 3. But doesn't mean it's going to happen. $223,000 is the salary of the speaker. So he gets more. The others get $174,000. So it's about $50,000 more for the speaker than if he's just a member.
That's a pretty decent amount of change.
But not in the world of show business and sports. You know.
Yeah. You wrote on the 3rd, the 118th Congress opens prediction of worst Congress in modern times. Now, that'll make McCarthy's job difficult. I mean, granted, you may not like his viewpoints and very divided right now. If it's the worst Congress, it's going to be next to impossible to get anything done. And it might make McCarthy look bad. But
yeah. It will be very hard to get anything done. Yes.
And we can't really.
I'm not happy about it. Yeah. Look, I even said in yesterday, you know, I said sadly, I use the word sadly, that I think it's not going to be as successful. I'm not saying I'm grateful over it.
But
not at all.
We don't want to fault McCarthy, though, if that happens. I mean, he's not a magician. Just like any. And same thing we would say about Nancy Pelosi. So McCarthy.
Well,
and,
we'll have to see how things go. But I'm just saying that the Congress we just ended was the most productive since the Obama first Congress, and the most productive going back to the 60s with LBJ. I mean, it wasn't really quite productive because it was a Democratic Senate 50-50 just barely and a small Democratic margin. Now the Senate's a little stronger, 51, but, you know, with that small margin of Republicans and the unwillingness to work and they want to, you know, go after all the cabinet members, it's not a productive atmosphere.
Right. Well, we'll see what happens. Maybe McCarthy can fool us. I mean, he's a smart.
I hope so.
Yeah. I mean, he's a smart man. I think we can agree with that. Same thing I might say about DeSantis. You may not like him as a man or with his about his viewpoints, but he's no dummy. And maybe he can work some wizardry, and we can find out. And, you know, maybe we'll be pleasantly surprised. I mean, who knows? Do you think when Boehner was confirmed, you probably weren't jumping for joy, but, you know, I liked having an Ohioan in there, and to me, he's somewhat moderate. Do you think he surprised you?
People made fun of his name first, so they called him Boehner.
Yeah. Do you think
he's even though people might think old comes first and it's Boehner, it's just funny. When that first came out, people were making fun of him.
Well, you know, knowing that he's of German ancestry, and I took German, I knew how to pronounce it, but I certainly found some funny, you know, Boehner or Boehner, funny ways to pronounce the name.
Well, Boehner is actually how it's pronounced.
Yeah,
Boehner.
But I knew Boehner is what's correct. Did he pleasantly surprise you, Ron, in terms of how he did as speaker, or was it kind of like as you were expecting?
I think he tried to control the right wing, but he ended up being pushed out. But he also was the one who invited the Israeli prime minister without approval of the president or being informed of the president being informed. And that was wrong. You don't invite a foreign leader to speak before the House of Representatives without the president knowing about it and not being opposed to it. So he really was, it was embarrassing what happened in 15 before he left. that he did invite Netanyahu. And by the way, Netanyahu is a nightmare now, the most extreme right-wing government I've ever seen in Israel. And it's becoming just, to me, it's almost like they're Nazis now going after Jews, because they're going to go after the Palestinians. They don't care about them anymore. I've had no interest. And honestly, he's also promoting homophobia, Netanyahu, and promoting that anybody who's a Reform Jew cannot be considered Jewish. This is crazy stuff, and it's going to turn a lot of American Jews against Israel's government. Not Israel, but the government.
It looks like Kevin McCarthy has his work cut out for him, but maybe he'll surprise. Yeah, I'm thinking, you know, if someone's smart enough, he or she will find a way to get things to work. You know, I'm willing to give
I hope he does well.
Yeah, willing to give the guy a chance, but we'll see.
I just say sadly. I didn't say I was gleeful.
Yeah. But it'll be an interesting year of politics for sure. Adam here on The Talking
Always
Place
interesting.
With Dr. Ron Fineman talking about today's exciting political topics. Ron is the author of the blog, theprogressiveprofessor.com, which he writes daily. And again, one of his longest blog entries occurred on Sunday the 8th. We'll discuss that in a bit. Let's reserve a few minutes, because normally it's just, you know, it takes about a minute to read, but that one took 3 or 4 minutes to read. But if you got to say it, you want to do it. I mean, beginning of the year, the holidays are over. Thankfully, as far as I'm concerned, I got to get Christmased out by the first week of December, and time to get to business. Already had a variety of weather here for winter of 2022-2023.
Yeah, we had it also here. It was very cold for a few days, about a week
Not
ago.
Not unexpected.
Oh, 40 degrees.
In the Midwest. On January 2nd, Ron, the presidential campaign of 2024 has begun. A bit of a lighter topic than the other ones we had on the agenda. And, you know, Donald Trump declared his candidacy, and we have 152 candidates at least on all sides. You've indicated some of the likely Republicans. And honestly, Ron, in looking at this list, I agree with every single one of these. I'm not sure about Christie. And he just doesn't present himself. I mean, I'm not going to talk about weight or anything. He just doesn't present himself well. And that's important if you run for president. The other ones, you know, we have some rather attractive females, Kristi Noem and Nikki Haley.
I hate to tell you, though, Kristi Noem makes Sarah Palin look smart. I don't think she's very bright.
Yeah, but she's
easy, nice to look at.
She's easy
but
on
she
the eyes.
To put Trump on Mount Rushmore. That's moronic.
Yeah,
it really is, but she suggested
you know,
that.
Mike Pompeo, Mike Pence, you know, from Indiana, does like to stick his religion in people's faces more than I would like to, but I think he would moderate president. You know, well-educated, well-spoken, good age, early 60s, and from Indiana. We like having someone who's somewhat local. Chris Sununu, a very moderate Republican from northern New England. I think he's kind of a cool name, too. I think he would be a good choice. I don't know much about Asa Hutchinson.
His father was chief of staff to the first Bush. Johnson, you knew.
Yeah, I remember him. That's kind of a name you don't forget. And Larry Hogan, you've mentioned, very moderate Republican.
I like Larry
governor.
Hogan.
Yeah.
He's my John Kasich or, you know, the president. The person I could most live with.
I mean, all these people except for Chris Christie, I think, are definitely interested in the presidency. And, you know, some I would think would be a good choice. I'm not sure about Cruz, but he always seems to...
Cruz.
He seems to stick...
Run, that's all.
He seems to stick his nose in a lot of places, so I might expect to see him around.
I think that Tim Scott, who's African-American, is someone that's interesting. I don't think he'll ever get very far. Sununu and Hogan and Cheney and Kinzinger, those five I could imagine as tolerable to live with. But I don't know if that's going to lead to any of them to come with the
Having
nominee.
The daughter of a former vice president, that is Liz Cheney, be president, that would be kind of unprecedented. And we have also another Midwesterner, Illinois congressman, former Illinois Congressman Adam Kinzinger, wouldn't mind.
He's now a CNN commentator just now, this week.
Yeah.
He's on CNN now.
I like his first name. So, yes, since COVID, CNN has really gone more to the left. They used to be very moderate. So, you have a...
Well, Kinzinger's not on the left.
a moderate on a left-leading network, which I think is good. It just shows diversity and shows he can work with people. To me, that's definitely a plus. And, you know, Kinzinger, you know, good-looking, presents himself
very
well.
Candidate if he wanted to run. I think he really would be.
Yeah.
I like the guy.
And that's the issue with Christie.
I can tolerate him.
Yeah. You know, jokes aside about his weight, he doesn't present himself very well. He's certainly been around. But Kinzinger, yeah, he presents himself very well. I mean, almost like Clinton. Clinton being very moderate. To me,
I wanted to say that Kinzinger, if I'm correct, is from the same general area of Illinois as John Anderson was from.
Yeah, well,
the center of Illinois, and of course, I like John Anderson back in the 70s and 80s quite a bit. You know, yeah.
So, an interesting field from the Republicans and a few moderates that I think Ron and I really would agree on. I would have no problem with Hogan. I'd love to see a female vice president. I think Liz Cheney would be a good choice for that. You know, yeah. I like Adam Kinzinger, not because he's a moderate and he presents himself well, but I like his name. I'm allowed to like a guy's name, you know. Yeah. And Sununu, I've heard him speak. He's very likable. He seems like he would work. Yeah. He would shake hands with anybody.
And Hogan was a great governor of Maryland. Even my son said he did a good job.
And I like some of the things that Kristi Noem has to say. I like looking at her, but she's too far to the right on many things. Which is kind of a shame.
The problem with Hogan is that it shouldn't matter, but he's a little overweight and he's bald. I don't think those are pluses.
Yeah, well,
as far as appearance, that's not important. I think Hogan's solid, but he's not a pretty boy.
Well, there's always the hair club for men and Weight Watchers. But just with Kristi, with Kristi, you know, it's like he's become the butt of some jokes. He's not a bad guy, but I'd say
but
the same.
But he's a little too arrogant for my taste.
Yeah, same thing about Trump. That doesn't seem like he's presidential material, but Trump just manages to go through these hoops. I'm not sure Kristi has that.
Yeah, you know, he's lost a lot of weight. Pompeo, the former Secretary of State of the CIA, was quite heavy. He's become very thin lately, you know, I guess because he was planning to run. Yeah.
Yeah. So, an interesting field, and we shall find out.
And don't eliminate Tim Scott. Imagine having a black Republican candidate for president. Interesting.
Yeah, he would have one of the shortest names of any president. 8 letters total. You've had John Adams. That's 9.
Yes.
Tyler is 9. I think he might be. Would be. He goes by Tim, not Timothy, so we'll go ahead and call him Tim.
I'm not even sure if I guess his name is Timothy. Yeah, I don't know.
The shortest name of any president, which is kind of fascinating. Now, Joe Biden is kind of a short name. No one really calls him Joseph.
Joseph, actually.
Except his middle name is Robinette, which is a very long name. So
yes,
that's
is,
what's kind of fascinating, Ron. I just noticed that, but, you know, I do that a lot. His name he goes by, Joe Biden, is very short. I think it's tied with the other 9-letter names, John Adams, John Tyler, is the shortest presidential name ever. Dick Nixon, you know, he goes by Dick, so I guess that would be 9.
Yeah. Well, actually, Tim Scott's listed on Wikipedia as Timothy Eugene Scott. That's his full name.
But Joe Biden's real full name is Joseph Robinette Biden Jr., right?
Yeah,
one of the longest names.
Strange.
Isn't that kind of fascinating?
But
Rutherford B. Hayes.
Actually, it sounds like an actor's name, doesn't it?
Yeah, even William Jefferson Clinton's kind of long. Yeah, Joseph Robinette Biden II. Yeah, Tim Scott, kind of a...
He's his whole name. It's like an actor, Timothy Eugene Scott.
Yeah, kind of a fascinating little tidbit, but that's how we roll here at The Talking Place. WWGH Radio. Of course, Ted Cruz, that's only 7 letters. But I don't... Ted Cruz also doesn't present himself very well. Plus,
well,
there's a question...
Ted Cruz's real name is not Ted, anyway.
Yeah.
I have to look it up again now.
Is there even Cruz. Is he even eligible? Because wasn't he born in...
Born in Canada,
he's not even eligible. That's what I never
actually
understood.
Actually, Raphael Edward Cruz is his name. Raphael Edward Cruz.
Yeah.
But he calls himself Ted,
Yeah, well, just like Ted Kennedy. But, again, he was a naturalized Canadian citizen. He's not even eligible. That's something that's come up, and he's not.
No, but it came up, but it was never really challenged where he couldn't. He was second in the primaries behind Trump in 16.
Well, if they challenge Obama...
Astros fan accused of throwing cans at him.
Well, they challenge Obama and say he was born in Kenya. They certainly can challenge Cruz. There's a lot more...
But he wasn't born in Kenya. He was born in Hawaii.
I agree he was born in Hawaii. Interestingly, the ironic thing is he was born in Hawaii about a year after it became a state. Now, Cruz, if he was naturalized in Canada, he isn't eligible. And so I don't know what's in that. And he has a Latino-sounding name, which is really fascinating, but he's Canadian. So it's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
But
it's funny. I see Astros fan accused of throwing cans at Ted Cruz. He gets people to throw things at him, but even at the Yankees game in the World Series time, a lot of people don't like Ted Cruz. Lindsey Graham has said that nobody would be upset if Ted Cruz died. He actually said that once. Lindsey Graham, who himself is a character.
That's kind of mean.
Yeah, but the two of them are both characters.
Yeah, I don't see Ted Cruz as a serious candidate. Among the women you mentioned... Yeah, among the women you mentioned, Ron, I think we can agree that Nikki Haley and Liz Cheney are the serious candidates. They're both definitely up there, and I wouldn't be surprised to see either one, but I still think that DeSantis, next topic of our next piece of this discussion, will be our next president, but he might pick...
But he has not been on the national level. He was in the House, but he's going to be really looked at in detail, and he's not... He doesn't have a good temper. He's going to get angry, and his arrogance, he's going to have all kinds of issues once he's exposed for all the truth about him, because he's not that nice. He really
I thought of maybe him, his choosing Haley as a running mate, but, you know, South Carolina, pretty Republican state near Florida, would it really help him? But then it would be kind of fascinating if he were to choose Liz Cheney from Wyoming, not a really important state, but the daughter of a former vice president.
He wouldn't pick Cheney, because that would be hurting the Trump people.
Yeah, and very moderate, so it would kind of make everybody happy, regardless of where they sit in that spectrum. But we shall see. Either way, it'll certainly be fascinating. You know, you're in Florida, Ron, and of course your governor there is Mr. Ron DeSantis, and you know, we do respect, you know, very smart man, well spoken. His wife is easy on the eyes. But you don't like a lot of his politics. And you know, I
have cute kids too. His kids are little and they're cute. Yeah. They're like the Kennedys almost in that regard.
Somewhat.
Teddy Roosevelt's kids.
You know.
Yeah.
I mean, you do like, you know, Ivy League education, two different schools, you know, very smart, well-spoken, but there certainly are issues with his politics from your perspective.
Yeah, let me say, well-spoken, but he's not a great speaker. He's not charismatic. No, a lot of people tell me that. He doesn't have charisma, and I think that's something you don't have to have, but it helps if you have charisma.
No question. Reagan and Kennedy, I mean, and Clinton to an extent, but, you know, Reagan, I think we can agree, we don't like his politics. I like some of what he did. I think he helped to destroy the communism in the USSR, and he made us proud to be Americans, but not a lot more than that.
Yeah, so with DeSantis, he doesn't come across as warm. He's not a warm person.
Yeah, I think Reagan does come across as friendly and warm. I think we can agree with that. And, you know, Kennedy's before my time, but he certainly had the charisma.
Reagan was very good. Yeah. He was really a very good. If you didn't like his ideas, you had to like him.
Yeah, he and his wife, very easy on the eyes, and that helps.
Not as much as wife. His wife was more difficult to take, I think. But he was, you know.
And, you know, many of the younger whippersnapper politicians probably compare themselves to Kennedy, even more from as much from a person standpoint as from a political standpoint. But he was a very moderate Democrat anyway, so... using Kennedy in any way as a role model, you can't really fault yourself for that. He was rather unprecedented, being younger with the young kids and a glamorous wife and being the first openly Catholic president. And so that, again, was unprecedented.
Well, of course, so DeSantis is Italian. You've never had an Italian Catholic president before. Irish Catholic, Biden and Kennedy.
Well, it's the first time for everything, isn't there? So, I'm not sure, Ron, if this was your longest blog ever. I think you would agree it certainly is the longest blog you've written recently.
Maybe I didn't really analyze that.
About eight paragraphs. So, on your blog of the 8th, Ron, you write, Ron DeSantis's war against truth, facts, and vulnerable victims. And I want to repeat something I mentioned offline to you. You know how much I love language, as you do. If someone's last name or first name ends in S, the possessive is apostrophe S, except for Jesus and Moses from the Bible. Jesus, pronounced Jesus, is a common Latino name, but Jesus in the Bible, Moses in the Bible, there's just an apostrophe after the S, which I never quite understood why, but that's what's considered to be correct usage, as you know. But if your name ends in S, first or last, the possessive is apostrophe S, not just an apostrophe. So I'm so glad that I saw that you wrote it as apostrophe S, and I'm sure Ron, also, you know, like yourself, highly educated, is also, he probably reads your blog. He probably is happy that you at least made the possessive right. He might not be happy about what you wrote, but I think he'll be happy with the way you denoted his name. So anyway, Ron DeSantis's war against truth, facts, and vulnerable victims. So long blog here, Ron. So instead of reading every word, which will take me 20 minutes, why don't you just give me a recapitulation or summary of what you wrote? And what is it that you don't like about him? We've talked about this before, but as of 2023, what concerns you if he could possibly be our next president?
Okay, he has shown his demagogic tendencies by promoting censorship of educational curriculums in public schools as well as at Florida public universities and colleges. He wants to prevent the teaching of the truth and facts about white supremacy, the reality of slavery, and Jim Crow segregation, because he claims it might make some young white children feel bad or feel guilty, which is preposterous. You could feel bad about it, but it's not like he's blaming the white kids for it, but they need to know. He's also made undocumented immigrants another target, taking some people from Texas, sending them to Martha's Vineyard, Massachusetts, and now he's going to deal with, apparently, I don't know what he's going to do with the people of Florida Keys, but he's making them out as if they're villains, these undocumented immigrants, when they're just people trying to escape persecution and crime in the nations of Central America. I don't mention it here, but that started in the 80s when Reagan's administration supported right-wing governments that persecuted people and started this this migration. It really was the Reagan administration that undermined Central America by backing dictatorships. And also the issue of sexuality, where people cannot, kids, whether you like it or not, they are transgender and gay and lesbian kids, and yet he doesn't want anything to be discussed in a classroom or by counselors, you know, and they want to suppress this, and that's very dangerous, and we're going to have more suicides. You know, it's not only him, by the way, it's also Texas does this and others, but it's very dangerous. And I mentioned that just on Sunday was the Rosewood Massacre of 100 years ago, which was commemorated 30 years ago by the Democratic governor, the last Democratic governor, Lorton Shiles. But now I'm dying to hear, does he say anything today about it? I guess not, because he would say, we don't want to talk about lynchings and massacres because they'll make people feel bad. Well, we need to feel bad so we don't repeat the history. This is crazy. And he's interfering with the universities now, where they want to know the curriculums, what teachers teach, and what their syllabus says. So I think I've said this before. It may come to a point that if somebody complains because I give a balanced view of every president and talk about racial problems, Native Americans, Hispanic Americans, African Americans, Jews, and also, you know, who do I leave out there? I think I left somebody out there, Muslims, whatever, that it might be, oh, this guy's teaching things that shouldn't be taught, and I could be pushed out. I hope not. I'm going to start my term this year, this semester. The course starts Tuesday. I'm going to still teach both sides, pluses and minuses, and somebody doesn't like it, tough. And if I get pushed out, hopefully not, I'll leave. You know, I don't have to do it, but I want to do it. But it annoys me that he's interfering with professors' rights to teach and express themselves about sexuality or about race or about religion and you know, and other things and about immigration. So I think it's very dangerous. And he's promoting the ignorance of parents who want to dictate libraries, what's in libraries, and all that, and a sense of literature. This is crazy. And I think it's going to harm him when he runs for president.
So with respect to critical race theory, Ron, there's really that second level debate, which is what exactly is critical race theory?
Critical race theory is taught in law school about the fact of the racial prejudice in history. It is not taught, other than we will mention about things that have happened, massacres and lynchings and of course, Jim Crow segregation. If you call that CRT, well, it's part of history. It's like saying you don't talk about the Holocaust because some people don't want to hear about it. You have to talk about the total history of the country. And if some people don't like it or upset by it, that's not a bad thing. And so CRT has been over-dramatized. It's nothing that threatens anybody. It's truth. It's facts. It's not mythology. So I'm not the only professor who would say this, but I'm bold enough on this show and in my blog to do it. And we'll see if it affects anything. But I think he's the most dangerous demagogue since George Wallace, who, of course, did speak up against civil rights to African Americans and gained 1 out of every 7 votes in 1968. But he wasn't a major party candidate. But this guy could be the next president. I don't think he will be, but I think he's very dangerous with what he's doing.
Ron, people can say that critical race theory is not discussing about slavery, Jim Crow laws, affirmative action, that it's designed to brainwash white people into thinking that they should feel guilty because they're white. That's the issue.
There's no reason anybody should feel guilty. They should feel sad where they want to, you know, work to make sure this doesn't occur in the future. But it's not a question of guilt. I mean, I'm not responsible. You're not. And no kid is responsible for what happened 100 years ago, 50 years ago, whatever. But they need to know it so that we don't have this kind of prejudice being promoted today and in the future. So to me, that's a crazy argument. You can't prevent people from knowing the truth, facts. We need to know it. That's the way I look at it. So that is just demagoguery on his part and on the part of the right wing of the Republican Party and of Donald Trump, too. He's responsible for a lot of this.
But you can see why people would object to that, as you just said you would and I did. No, I am not responsible personally. Do I feel bad about it? It's hard to say because I wasn't there. I don't think it's right, but there are so many things that were wrong in this country that we can't go issue
by issue.
There are bad
things in this country. It's not all wonderful.
We need to know what happened, but saying, okay, you're white, you should feel guilty about slavery.
Not guilty. I don't feel guilty. I feel sad about it, and I want to make sure that people know it and know about segregation and know about the mass murder of Native Americans by Jackson and also the putting of Japanese Americans in camps and all the other things, and of course not dealing with the Holocaust. We need to know these things so hopefully in the future we don't repeat that behavior. It's not a question of guilt. It's a question of knowledge, knowing what happened, not denying people the reality and making them have an idea everything in America is wonderful, wave the flag, nothing bad has ever happened. Because every society has this, not just us, Britain, the British Empire, plenty of stuff that's negative. Every part of the world, but we need to know it.
But you can see where people might take it to that extent. And also, we can't look at every classroom and know exactly what the teacher is teaching. But
something in my mind, you go to a doctor and tell them how to practice medicine or a lawyer how to practice law. If you have people who are qualified, educated, and have certification, you as a parent should not be interfering in what goes on in the classroom. You should be leaving it to they're the experts. I have a degree, even if I don't have a doctorate. If I have a bachelor's and a master's degree, why does anybody have a right who doesn't have any knowledge, but these are ignorant people, to tell you what you can or cannot say or cover in a class?
Right.
Or talk to their kids about sexuality if they're gay and their parents don't accept them.
Right.
In
a public school, though, we want to make sure teachers are unbiased.
Private is a different story. We're talking about public, yes.
Yeah, so that is, again, part of that slippery slope. And
yes, and same with libraries. You're going to eliminate literature that talks about race or sexuality. Come on, it's part of life.
You have
to know about it.
Again, and even in a public college, to me, it doesn't matter if it's a public college, a private, or an Ivy League, etc. In the humanities, professors will have opinions. You certainly have yours.
Yes.
And in that case,
both sides.
Yeah. I don't see an issue with it at the university level because I think people.
Well, he does.
Yeah.
Our governor here in Florida.
But the public schools.
He wants to know the exact curriculum and what's on the syllabus and all that. That's an interference with freedom of thought and freedom of educational standards.
Yeah, in public schools, though,
to do that?
You have to be unbiased. And you can write a PhD thesis about that, Ron. I think people probably have and are going to. What is considered unbiased at the university level, and you can even take a look at taxpayer-funded universities versus private.
Yes.
There are also these for-profit universities. There's online learning. How does that compare to the public schools? And what if a professor gives you a lower grade because you don't agree with his or her viewpoint? I mean,
I don't do that. One
thing I know about you, Ron, is you're very ethical. You would not do that, but I think we would agree that many professors would, probably some that you know, and that's unfortunate.
Well, that might be true, but it's also some lawyers. I don't like the way they practice law. Some doctors, how they practice medicine. But that's not something government should get involved in to dictate what's done.
That's the tricky point. And on that note,
yes, government should stay out of it.
Yeah. On that note, although we didn't cover everything, we never do. My mama always said, time flies when you have fun, but which is good.
Yes.
Thanks
so much. I had a great time.
Thank my listeners for lending an ear on this program. Be sure to listen to this program on our website and previous episodes, as well as Scott Spears, who's interviewed Ron at WWGH1071.com. And be sure to bookmark theprogressiveprofessor.com and read Ron's blog. Check out his book at your local library or Amazon or other book peddler about presidential assassinations. And last but not least, be sure to read the History News Network website because he also contributes there too. How's that for some good grammar and good good usage of our great English language. Have a great rest of your week, Ron. We'll talk again soon.